The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is brought to you by DraftKings at Casino Queen Sportsbook. Use our promo code WMVP. That's WMVP. Must be 21 years or older, Illinois only.
From State Street and the First Midwest Bank Studio,
ESPN 1000,
the home of the White Sox.
WMVP Chicago.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, I hope you're getting through the drive time okay. 312-332-3776. We all know we're getting some snow. It's probably started in many areas right now. Hope you're okay. Just sit back, take your time, listen to Waddle and Sylvie. Waddle is off today. Connor McKnight joining us. He'll be with us all week. You've heard him for years in this market talking sports. He's now going to host White Sox pre and post game. You hear him on White Sox Weekly as well. Going to be doing play-by-play for some of the games as Len Casper. Not only will be our radio play-by-play guy as the White Sox return to ESPN 1000, but he's going to have some TV time as well, with Benetti having some conflicts, and they're going to do some stuff together as well. And Connor will fill in and do some play-by-play. So it is great to have Connor on the radio station, and it is great to have you in the Waddle and Sylvie slot.
I've been having a blast for 3 hours. You guys do this every day? This is just a good gig. You should keep this.
Thank you.
You should keep doing what you're doing. This is great.
I hope to. Yes. We have a lot of fun every day. Silly stuff, silly arguments, silly debates. We argue about quarterbacks all the time. Bleck and me are going to argue about quarterbacks. We're never going to see eye to eye on that. 312-332-3776. And then we'll gauge Mark Jean Greco's sadness coming up at 5:30. He's going to be in here in a half hour. So if you want to talk about the Packers not going for it on fourth down, we've talked a ton about that today. We're all in agreement that that was the wrong move. Oh. Is Rodgers going to leave Green Bay? We'll talk about possibilities for the Bears with Watson, and we were arguing about Stafford and different things. I do want to bring up, though, a couple things about Tom Brady, because we haven't gotten there, because most of our talk has had to do about Green Bay. And first of all, I want to play you some of the highlights from yesterday. This is all courtesy of Fox. And I've got some mind-blowing stats. And then I have a question for you guys. But take a listen. And it wasn't the perfect game for Tom Brady. His first half was really good. He survives. He's going to his 10th Super Bowl. Take a listen.
Brady throws end zone. He's got Evans for the touchdown. Third down conversions on their way down the field. And Mike Evans is in for the score and the early points for the Buccaneers here on the road. Back of the end zone, touchdown Brady. And on the first play after the takeaway, Brady finds Cameron Brate for the touchdown. Toss to Godwin. He's got the first down and this game's over. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tom Brady are going to Super Bowl 55.
We need TV.
And that's it. Tom Brady is going back to the Super Bowl, this time as a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. What a path. 20 years as a New England Patriot. His first year with Tampa Bay. The fifth seed, knocking off the top-seeded Packers. On to the Super Bowl they go.
Again, that's Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, Fox for the highlights. Guys, this is to me, I have two stats I want to read you. Scale of 1 to 10, what's the craziness of this? This is one of my favorites about Brady. Tom Brady now has 9 playoff wins against the NFC, okay? Remember, he's played in the AFC for his entire career except this year. Tom Brady now has 9 playoff wins against the NFC. To put that into perspective, the player with the most wins in the playoffs versus the NFC is Brett Favre with 12. Rodgers and Montana have 10. And then there's Brady with Staubach and McNabb with 9. Think about that. He's played his whole career in the AFC, and he's, what, third, tied for third in most wins against the NFC?
That's insanity. No, that's insanity. Without knowing what the other one is, that is easily hitting a seven on the insanometer.
Yeah. And then the other one, I made it Bears-related. I tweeted it out, and a lot of people were reacting to it. That Brady this playoffs, at the age of 43, with a brand new team, has won three playoff games now, right? All on the road, he's won three playoff games. The Bears, in the last 25 years, have won three playoff games.
That sounds about right. I mean, really, that shoe fits. I get that. That was... Yeah. Sylvie, that was like a two.
That's a two. That just that brings it all
it
together,
hurts.
Though, with
I
the
mean,
bear. It hurts, right?
Yeah, yes. Of course. Like, the emotion involved in that one is astronomical. But in the can you believe this category, I'm thinking,
yes,
yeah,
right.
That feels right.
Because anybody could get hot and win three playoff games. Nick Foles did that, right?
Of course.
But
anybody could do that.
Think about that. And I emailed Jacob Nitzberg, too. Let me call that up. Because I asked him, where are the Bears in, like, the last 25 years as far as, like, are there teams to have won less games in the last 25 years? Because one guy responded to that and said to me, they go, well, Sylvie, Brady's got more wins than almost every team playoff-wise. I'm like, no, you don't understand. This is about his 1 year. In 1 year with the Bucks, the Bears have three playoff wins in their last quarter of a century.
And one of them was against a 7-9 Seahawks team,
right? 2010, the 2010 season. The three wins came in the 06 season. Two of them came Seattle in that first game in overtime.
Yeah,
the Saints to win the NFC, and then they beat Seattle in the first round, only to lose to the Green Bay Packers in the NFC Championship game. Which, by the way, 10 years ago, right now. We had full phone lines discussing Jay Cutler's injury. Do you remember that?
Yes. Very well. Of course.
The 10-year anniversary was 2 days ago.
And it was, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was Marshawn Lynch on Twitter.
It was, what's his face?
It was Maurice Jones-Drew.
Oh, yeah. Maurice Jones-Drew. Yeah, that's right. My apologies. Maurice Jones-Drew.
Oh, I had a hit list.
He started all the talk about how soft he was, about how what wasn't going on, and still, I don't think the Bears have done right by Cutler there.
Right. Well, they did him wrong at the end of the game.
Absolutely.
Lovie needed to stand up at the press conference and say, guys, Jay Cutler was playing with a grade 2 knee sprain that would keep him out 3 weeks if this were the regular season. He tried. He couldn't go.
Yep.
Like, did anyone question Aaron Jones yesterday when he left the game with a chest injury?
No one.
Like, I mean...
Did anyone question Patrick Mahomes when he left the game last weekend with a concussion? Nobody.
Right. Well, you have to. I mean...
Well, and I'll be honest. I'm glad we're there. I'm glad we're at a point where... We're watching the best player in football. No, he won't be the MVP, but he's the best player or has the best player, best future in football. And we watch him go down with a concussion. We go, yeah, he's out. And that's how it's got to be. We don't have a conversation about, oh, well, he's got a this and he's got a that. What about this? He's done. He's done. He's out. We move on. I'm glad that that's the NFL we've got
right now. Yes, yes. It was asinine what went on 10 years ago. We had Deion Sanders on the next day ripping Cutler. They all ripped Cutler. Stink Schlereth and I got into it. And again, I'm those were my peak Cutler days, as we called them. I cuddled him.
Sure.
I overloved him at that point. He was our guy, too. But that it's ridiculous. That and Steph Curry recently, that's another one that I always bring up, missed a couple of weeks in the postseason with a grade 2 sprained ankle. No one questions that. But with Cutler, it was he was riding the bike, Sylvie. He's over there in the jacket riding the bike. Well, Sylvie, I heard he was at Mastro's walking down the stairs.
That's right, the Mastro stairwalk. I forgot.
Yes, the stairwalk. It's crazy. But... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, not to relitigate the whole thing, but it is the closest the Bears have gotten to, you know, playing in a Super Bowl in a real long time. Cutler also prepared a way for guys like that to rip him, right? I mean, did he deserve it? No. But past behavior probably made it a little bit, and past reputation probably made it a little easier for those guys to go ahead and take shots. Did it not?
I don't know, like, what behavior, like pushing Jamarcus Webb?
No, I think it's clubhouse stuff. I think it's being that guy. I think it's, you know, the guy you hear stories about where he's don't care, you know, that whole thing. I think that's probably all that started to make a bed, right?
I think it's, again, like the nice guys get the breaks. And Jay didn't play that game especially early. He learned later on as he met Kristen. Kristen prepared him more a little bit for the media spotlight. But if you listen to some of the shows, you always knew he had a good personality. But I just think whether you're the friendliest guy and you have a bunch of friends throughout the NFL, or you're a guy who kept to himself and had, quote, bad body language like Cuddy, then it still shouldn't matter when you suffer a grade 2 knee sprain in a championship game, you know, when you come back. They did a bad job as a team.
You're right.
And I thought a lot of people were irresponsible what they did it. But so I want to ask you guys this. Back to Brady now. I know he threw 3 picks, so I'm not just saying this game. The package of this year, him leaving Bill Belichick, the debate about, hey, is he done or not? Is Belichick the guy who's carried that thing? To some, hey, they didn't see eye to eye right away, to throwing 40 touchdowns, to going on the road and winning 3 games in a row in the postseason, including beating Aaron Rodgers in Lambeau Field, to get to your 10th Super Bowl. Where does that rank in just stuff you've seen altogether, the accomplishment?
That is, so it should be one of the most dramatic turns in the NFL story. It really ought to be. It ought to be a full chapter unto itself in the NFL book. But Sylvia, I'll be honest, for me, given my 2020, where I was, where I wasn't, what happened over the last 10 months, and I think a lot of people might feel this way too, the NFL became, for a good long time, the perfect background noise. It became this thing that was happening while I didn't have to think about everything else that was going on in my life. And I say that to say, the Tom Brady 2020-2021 chapter will, for me, and it only speaks to how crazy this year has been, will for me just be this, oh, and remember this? And it's crazy because I, in a way, I'm having this like super important chapter of the NFL torn out of my potential fandom. And yet that's where it sits for me. It's just kind of this bizarre little space.
Yeah. This is bigger to me. I mean, Tiger winning the Masters when he came back a couple years ago was fantastic. I won wine from Waddle. It was awesome. All those back injuries. But those are 4 really good days. This guy at 43 years old changed teams and still is back for his 10th Super Bowl at the age of 43. It's just, when you wrap your arms around all-time accomplishments, isn't this one of the greatest?
Yes, it absolutely is. And furthermore, I think, you know, given the way he played this year, I have zero doubts that he'll be at least a competent top-tier quarterback at 44.
You know, something
which
that
is insane.
Something that I was thinking about as you guys both share your thoughts on this and kind of melding it together, kind of, Connor, what you're saying with, like, the way this year has gone. And, Sylvie, you look at Tom Brady and you say, it's just so incredible how he's accomplishing what he's accomplishing. The one thing I kept thinking about watching him play yesterday, and it just sticks out in my head all the time when I think about how great Tom Brady is he won a Super Bowl following 9/11. That Super Bowl that was after 9/11, wasn't that the 2001 Super Bowl?
Mm-hmm.
That was just after that event, like, big life event for many of us. You know, we all see this thing happen in the world, and then it's like he was doing that then, and he's still doing it now.
Still doing it. Still doing it.
Like, to me, that's the thing that is just so crazy, is that how much life has changed since then.
Right. Everything that's gone on in the last 20 years.
Yeah, and he is still just as good, if not better, than he was at times when he was younger.
So that's what I'm wondering. I want to know from people in Chicago, do you appreciate that? Or do you say, I got a lot of this. He didn't even play that well, Sylvie. He threw 3 picks.
No, that's ridiculous.
No, he played great.
Well, let's address that coming up next. Your thoughts on the game, your thoughts on the Packers not going for it on fourth down. We'll get to all your phone calls at 332-3776, plus Mark Gingreco at 5:30.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
We're in the middle of a conversation about Brady. I mean, it's why we all got into sports in the first place. Here's a news flash. When I was a kid, the Bears weren't any good anyway. So, like, a bunch of us would have Terry Bradshaw jerseys, the Steel Curtain, and that Steelers team. The other part of the Burbs would be into the Cowboys and Staubach and everything. And, like, you grew up sports and you'd be like, wow, these superstars are bigger than life. And sometimes, like, people just say, well, that's cheesy. You're overloving someone. And we don't give just due to why we love sports to begin with. Well, we want to see something that we've never seen before. We just watched a 43-year-old man change teams where a lot of people thought he was doing it because of the coach. And yes, he was surrounded by a lot of players. It is a total team game. But Tom Brady strolled into Tampa with no training camp and everything with COVID, put up 40 touchdowns, won 3 road playoff games, and is going to his 10th Super Bowl. It's incredible.
It's impressive underlined, really. I mean, I don't know that there's anyone in football who has a comparable story. Mostly because Brady obviously was the best to ever do it before this season. And I don't think there's a whole lot of arguing around it. And even if you are, you're not arguing for who's better than Brady. Really, that argument has become who's as good as Brady. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I used to argue for Peyton, and it was over several years ago.
Yeah. And you can do the whole Montana thing, and you can do the whole, you know, I mean, if you want to do the quarterbacks of yesteryear, you can do that. But that argument is no longer he's better than Brady. It's he's just as good as.
Abdallah, what were you saying about to the people who are saying, well, Brady didn't even play that well to begin with, Sylvie?
That's like going to the Sistine Chapel while it's being painted and be like, nah, I could do better. you realize that we're watching the greatest, like the greatest. Like you're watching Steve Jobs make the iPhone. You're watching Leonardo paint. You're watching like the greatest chef cook a meal. You are watching the best to ever do it. Do it in real time. And to just be like, oh, no, that guy sucks. I'm not going to watch him. He didn't even play that well. No, he did. You saw it from the very first quarter, that floater pass. I mean, he's still throwing it 50 yards downfield with no problem.
Right. And Mike Evans didn't help him. I don't know if you guys remember the first. I think it was the first play of the fourth quarter. He went deep to Evans along the sideline, and Evans dropped the ball. Not the one that sailed high that was intercepted. That was a tough catch. There was one that he put right on Evans' fingertips late in the game to start the fourth quarter, and Evans dropped it.
He's still throwing one-on-one. You know, he's still identifying those matchups and attacking and going downfield. I think that's what – and, yeah, there was – what was it? What would you call it? Like a span of 4, maybe 6 weeks or so, you know, kind of in the second, third of the season where he's, I don't know, the offense was in a little bit of trouble and trying to kind of find itself somewhat. But more or less, he has attacked downfield. He has defied whatever arm he's got left. And I think, you know, they talked about it in the postgame yesterday. Some of those interceptions he threw, not the one that was basically just as good as a punt, but the one where he sailed high to Evans.
Right.
I think we're watching the cold set in on an old man's arm. I think that's more of what we're seeing than anything else. And that's impressive, too. The fact that you're able to fight that off as long as he was and then figure out a way to get back into it, it's impressive.
It's incredible. So 332-3776, George is in Old Town. Georgia, you're on ESPN 1000.
Yes, Tom Brady's the greatest. They should have gone for it, the Packers. But let me tell you, Tampa Bay is not going to be able to – Green Bay couldn't keep up with Kansas City, and Tampa Bay is going to get their ass kicked against. I don't care if they have Tom Brady or whatever. You put Kelce, you put the talent of that offensive unit and their defensive unit on Kansas City coming, they're going to win by 2 scores, in my opinion.
And they may. I mean, again, we saw them turn it on yesterday, and Mark's going to talk about Buffalo. And that was my hope, picking Buffalo, that Buffalo showed late in the year, I thought, that they could put up big points. And then if they did get into a shootout with Kansas City, Josh Allen could take them up and down the field. But then they just got satisfied with kicking field goals on fourth down. You can't kick field goals against the Chiefs. You have to score touchdowns, and they just couldn't do it in prime time like I thought they maybe would do it yesterday.
Every time McDermott threw the field goal unit out there, I was yelling at the television. That's not a strategy. That's not a strategy against the Chiefs. It doesn't work. That's impossible to win that way.
You need six.
And how, you know, not for nothing, but we're talking about Mahomes, we're talking about Brady, we're talking about Rodgers. And we haven't spoken much about Josh Allen, and that's fine. But how crazy is it that we're watching a really good, developing quarterback who's learning the league and has tossed away some of the you know, YOLO plays, the Bills Mafia type stuff that he was actually doing in a playoff game last year, and developing the way we're used to seeing quarterback. He could be a great quarterback.
Yeah.
And he's making steps, like rational steps, and nobody gives a damn. Because Patrick Mahomes, and because Tom Brady, and because Aaron Rodgers, like the era he's got to play quarterback in is insane.
He's the most improved quarterback. I heard someone a couple days ago on SportsCenter say that it was Baker Mayfield. And I'm like, no. Josh Allen is the most improved player in the National Football League.
By far.
Yeah. Chip in Villa Park, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Chip?
Hey, guys. The interesting thing that I think, I don't know if anybody's brought it up, but what bothered me most about the Packers not going for it was a field position situation that may have come up should you have been able to hold the Tampa Bay and an opportunity to get the ball back. What bothered me is if you had your three timeouts and the two-minute warning, if you decide to go for it and not get it, you've got Tampa Bay pinned deep in their own end of the field. And if you can prevent them from getting a first down, they're going to be punting around their goal line, which is going to give you an opportunity around midfield to start your final drive to try to get back at it. You won't have any timeouts, limited time on the clock, an opportunity and a chance to get at least a touchdown and maybe tie it up because you've got a shortened field. By doing what they did and kicking it, I thought if Crosby kicked out of the end zone, Tampa gets it at the 25. So if they even advance the ball short of a first down, they're going to be able to punt, and you're going to be looking at having to go 70, 75, maybe even 80 yards for a touchdown with no timeouts left. I thought, why wouldn't you think of go for it, because if we don't get it, but we hold them, we still got a chance because our field position opportunity to tie the game, well, we've got a chance here, but if we kick it and they advance the ball upfield and we've got to burn timeouts and they're out near their 40, they're going to pin us back inside the 20,
you're preaching.
And we're screwed.
No, we're with you. We're both with you on that. I don't get it. You took the ball out of one of the best players' hands. You handed the ball to one of the best players, and it just didn't make any sense. And again, if you fail, like you said, big deal, you still have that same philosophy as to why you kicked the field goal. You have four timeouts, including the two-minute warning, to get the ball back with the stop. But you could have tied the game with one play from Aaron Rodgers, too, if you count the two-point conversion. Even if you don't pick up the two-point conversion, you can do the same thing. So Mark Gian-Greco is going to join us. We'll find out how he is doing. We were texting a lot with Marky yesterday, and we'll get his reaction to the Bills losing and everything that happened in the Green Bay game.
This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
I really believed we'd be celebrating with Mark Gian-Greco as Bills Mafia was ready to go down to slay their biggest rival in Tom Brady. But, Marky, it wasn't meant to be.
That was the worst Sunday, bloody Sunday of my life. Although, I'm kidding, because I knew the Bills were going to lose, and they lost exactly the way I thought they would. But the Packer thing boggles my mind. And Matt LaFleur, what a great young coach. This is going to haunt this poor guy forever. This is going to go down in history as one of those decisions that you just cannot wrap your brain around. By the way, it's great to see Connor in studio.
It's great to be seen.
It's great, man.
It's nice to meet you.
We're hanging out here. I was just talking to some people on the set when I was doing the five. We often make fun of how old I am, you know. So, and lately we've been dwelling on my age with my little battle with the guys across the street.
I love
but
this.
Really, this is how old I am. I have seen every single Super Bowl live, either on television or in person. So I've seen 54 Super Bowls live, not on tape, not an NFL Films thing. Sat down and watched every single minute of every single game. I think I've been to 7 Super Bowls working. I was at one as a fan in Tampa, Bills Giants, and all the rest sitting
weren't
in front
you,
of the TV.
You were 23 and working in Dayton for Super Bowl I, right?
Super Bowl I, let's see, 66. I was 14 years old, I guess. At Phil Perna's house, watching the game in the family room with the green shag carpeting.
The Pernas have a good setup?
Oh, yeah, good setup. You know, the big zenith and the big mahogany
Big, too, because, you know, that wasn't a tradition yet. So the Pernas were out there, like, on the bleeding edge of entertainment.
But you got to understand, it's Buffalo. It's the AFL. It's the biggest thing in the world for us, you know?
Makes sense.
Yeah. So, anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in for a little more fuel on the fire. But now, of course, I'm the biggest Chiefs fan in the world. And I'd be rooting for whatever the AFC team was anyway. So
that's where I am. That was a lot of what we started the show with, too. We could get into, you know, the Packer game and more in your Bills. But what the great joy that people take in to the Packers losing, or you're going to take great joy now to seeing you want Brady to lose, right? I mean, right? You're
well,
rooting
absolutely.
For the Chiefs, you said.
But I your take on this, Sylvia. I like your take on this.
So we played Caps here. Let's play this again. For those just getting into your car.
I don't want to look at it or see it again.
Well, he said, is that the Joker or is that Cap? Do you want to play the game? Which is which? Play a bite.
I mean, you know, if you want to try to endear yourself to Bear fans, go ahead and do it. But, Sylvie, I am with your take.
There's so much history here. When you go 3-18 against the Packers and you can't beat them yourselves, when the last time you were in the postseason and you lose the game because your kicker double doinked it and you knew your kicker was bad, when you've won 3 playoff games in the grand total of 25 years and Brady wins 3 in his first year in Tampa, I can't take great joy in the Packers' misery today.
Not at all.
Too much wrong with my own team, and I've got too much poop in my backyard. I got to be out there with the baggies, cleaning it up, finding a spot for that, that I can't worry about a couple of little poops in the Packer backyard.
Well, okay, so let me explain it this way then. Maybe this makes more sense, because I do take joy in it. I truly do.
Yeah.
I did 12 years Catholic school, so I am very,
wow,
very
you're scarred
familiar.
For life.
Oh, yeah,
it's
so I'm
like
very
me.
Familiar
yeah.
with separating joy from satisfaction. You know, the two don't have to go together. So I take joy in it, but I find no satisfaction in it because the Bears have so much left to do. Because the Bears have so much farther
right
to go.
Yeah, right. You're kind of straddling.
Well, again, 12 years Catholic school. It's all about loopholes. Are you kidding me?
No, there were no loopholes. You acted up. You got smacked.
Well, yeah, I got smacked.
And then you got detention, which we call JUG. J-U-G. Justice under God.
God.
That's what it was called.
That's fantastic. I got to pick, the Sister Gertrude let me pick which side of the ruler.
Exactly.
There was the flat side, and then she had the side with the little metal inlay.
Sure, the little
What was the technological advancement for the metal inlay on the ruler?
I think it made a straighter line. You didn't get a splinter in the wood.
Did it?
Here's how stupid I am. Mrs. Jasinski used to say, God didn't bless me with the good looks, but I got eyes in the back of my head. And she used to hit you with your own ruler. So everybody else would get the flimsy little plastic one you could bend.
Right.
Or the little wooden one. My dad worked for Upjohn, and they'd hand out these big, gigantic Cherichol rulers. You know, pharmaceuticals. Cherichol, Kaopectate, you know. Unicab vitamins.
I was worried he'd be like a pipe fitter.
He sent
you there with a pipe.
John, well, they would hand out, you know, items like pencils and rulers and stuff.
Yeah.
I had this big Upjohn metal ruler. It weighed about 5 pounds, and she'd smack you over the head with it. I'm an idiot. Why don't I get a breakable ruler, just like Bill's Mafia? Get a breakable table. Get a breakable ruler.
That's, and I feel so bad for, I mean, you guys were all on the Bills train. Josh Allen is like, you know, last year he was the perfect quarterback for Bills Mafia. He was playing like he was never going to see the sun again. Just chucking it everywhere. No regard for anything. Doing shots of fireball on the sidelines. Like, that guy was everything. And then he grows up a year, becomes an even better quarterback. He's dynamic. Diggs and him is so much fun. And you get it taken away from you by the best quarterback in the game.
Well, I knew they were going to lose. These are baby steps. This is a good team that has a great future ahead of it. They need an old line. They need a pass
guard. I feel against like this.
Yeah, I feel like the Chiefs were playing possum all season long.
They need a.
The Chiefs are unstoppable.
Yeah, but all season,
Kill is
they didn't win a game by more than one score for like 6 weeks, Mark.
And their quarterback is coming off a concussion with a foot injury. I'm with what Waddle said on Friday. I believe that this take here where, we don't have a chance, that was all a protective measure
so you can
deal with it better today. Uh-uh. Yes.
I have been able to deal with it better with that attitude, but I never thought they were going to win going in. The Chiefs are just way, way, way too much. And I buy in that they were playing possum. It's like, why do you want to beat the crap out of some little kids in gym playing kickball or kill ball? Save it for the Super Bowl. I hope they hang 50 on the Bucs, and I hope Brady gets knocked out on his ass.
I think they could hang 50 on the Bucs.
Well, I don't know. It's a pretty good defense.
It is a very good defense, Mark, and I think that defense had as much to do with beating Green Bay as some interceptions and with some poor decision-making.
Devin White's pretty bad. He is a bad man.
No doubt about it. Vita Vea made some nice plays up the middle, and the other big guy they had made some nice plays. They put Aaron Rodgers into a spot where he's, you know, you see him get the ball and go, or he does the kind of scramble thing. But he's going back to the other side of the field after his first read, which means he's a little confused,
I'm in the camp where this is a major faux pas by Matt LaFleur. I don't blame Rodgers, but Rodgers did some unerring things. Like, it looked like from my couch that he could have run that thing in on third down. Maybe not. Pierre Paul was right on his butt.
I thought he could have run it in.
Then it'd be fourth and one or fourth and two.
He damn sure gets six.
Instead of fourth and eight or fourth and six or whatever. So it was a combination of some stuff that just wasn't quite right. And if you listen to LaFleur in the postgame, he basically admitted, I was off my game today. Meaning it wasn't just that decision. It was play calling. I don't know. I feel for him.
He was pretty demonstrative on the sideline. I haven't seen him like that.
Yeah,
want to play him the cap thing too. We gotta play this. The joy the cap took out of the Packers.
I can't.
You kick a field goal down eight inside the 10 with Aaron Rodgers. That is awesome. Hey, Green Bay. You got him at home. You got cold weather. That is phenomenal. Have a good off season. See ya, Green Bay Packers. Data baby.
Yeah, that was
muster up that. I mean, when we had the Eagles at home in the cold, and our kicker doinked it. Like, he's saying, you've got Rodgers and you don't go for it. We had Mahomes. We could have drafted Mahomes. We could have erred on the side of Watson, and we drafted Trubisky.
Exactly.
We've got Ted Phillips and his gamer headset on, telling us that not getting the quarterback and
quarterback situation completely right? No. Have we won enough games? No. Everything else is there.
Look at me. I'm the Bears fan. I'm so good. What? What are we crowing about? Who are we laughing at?
I know. It's an absolute joke. Don't even get me started. I got so many bouts on my fight card now. I got to fight Cap. I got to fight Larry Potash. I mean,
be first?
Well, maybe a tune-up with Cap. You know.
Sure, just to get everything working.
Yeah.
His ground game, though, is what I would. You know, I don't know if you're going to go by Queensbury or anything like that. I don't know where you guys are fighting. But
speaking of which, Boy, the Conor McGregor thing kind of, that fizzled. Boy.
It did.
So much hype, and then 2 minutes.
Couldn't happen to a better guy. What a shame.
I mean, he's the face of that sport. And it's amazing that that sport is so popular. It's so huge now. And boxing, conventional boxing. Can you name the heavyweight champion of the world in boxing?
Lennox Lewis.
No. I have no
him.
Idea who it is anymore. I
don't. There's a good heavyweight though.
Yeah, about 20 years
Russian?
Ago.
Is there a Russian? Is there a Klitschko that's got a belt?
There are a couple of Klitschkos, but I think
who's
you know,
the really just, big
they're
dude
in Putin's cabinet
won.
Now. I don't know what they're doing.
No, neither is he.
Yeah.
It's Tyson Fury, isn't it?
Thank you.
Another stand-up gentleman.
There's a guy, 6'9", not a muscle in his body. He's just 6'9", flabby. He beats the crap out of people.
He looks like a character from Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, doesn't he, Tyson Fury?
Like early round. He's got a real easy, easy way to beat him.
Like the pants go down and you hit him in the belly.
Oh, this is what I hit. Oh, I wasn't sure. I was unsure as to when to hit this big guy.
Yeah. All right, more with Markey. Coming up, and your phone calls at 312-332-3776. The 5 o'clock hour and the entire Mark Gene Greco segment is brought to you by the Home Loan Expert. It's a new year. Time for a new mortgage. How much can you save? Find out now. Contact my guy, Ryan Kelly, at thehomeloanexpert.com.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Mark Gene Greco in our first Midwest Bank studio with Connor McKnight, who's in for Waddle. You can watch it all on twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Bleck and Abdallah will be on immediately following us. You can watch them as well. Markey, are your Blackhawks back after the weekend?
Nah, I wouldn't say they're back. I mean, when you sweep the Detroit Red Wings, what does that say? Nothing. I mean, that is one bad hockey team. Now Boqvist and DeBrincat are on the COVID protocol list. And this has become commonplace now. So they're going to go to Nashville tomorrow without them. They're not out of the woods. Their D still stinks. It looks like Kevin Lankinen is going to be your goaltender. He looks like he's the guy. You know, young, not a lot of experience, but he's pretty athletic. So you ride with him. And, you know, as long as I'm treated to a spectacular Kane goal, like every other game or every two games like he's been doing, I'm happy. As a hockey fan, as a Hawks fan, they're not going anywhere. But I love the geographical reconstruction of the divisions. And, you know, it's a shorter season. You know me, I advocate shorter seasons for every sport. Just let's keep it moving. Let's keep it moving. We don't need 80 games. We don't need 82. 56 is nice. We don't need 162. 140 is fine. You know, by the way, Connor and I were talking off mic. Another example of, you know, that whole cap thing and Bears fans just gloating over the fact that the Packers lost. Remember when we had George McCaskey on? And he goes, go Rams. Oh, you got to vote and cheer for another team because you can't get it done with your own? Yeah. I think that's a primary example of that kind of crap.
Do you think the Rams owner is ever saying, go Bears?
Yeah, right. Right.
Hey,
I mean, George Kittle on the Niners said go Bears. But,
sure, but he's allowed to do that. Yeah. He's a crazy person.
Yeah,
he's a crazy person. And
he's someone you fear and love.
I took a peek out the window, Sylvie, and I'm the new guy here. I'm the fresh pair of pants. I get that. But is it snowing by you yet? Do you have snow coming down? I just wanted to check in on your weather.
Armageddon!
I can't see because it's light in here and it's dark out the window.
Yes, it is snowing. Ravi Bashwal just did a live shot, and his wonderful coiffed hair is covered with snow.
Well, I just want us to make sure that we're doing, you know, our best representation of taking care of
listen,
the viewers.
Don't insult our listeners as idiots by telling them to dress warm and grab an umbrella and check on the elderly. Don't do that.
I would never. I would absolutely never do that.
You know.
Let's go live to Rob Elgus. He's outside a True Value store. He'd like to tell you to buy some salt and get your snow blower.
There it is. Get a shovel.
If I were looking for a good pair of boots, should I wear them now?
Attention.
Or should I wear them in a few hours?
Breaking news. It's Chicago. It's January.
And now to sports with Mark Giangreco.
Yeah, here's your minute 30. Hey, Bulls, Hawks, back to you.
When did the driving car become a thing through the storms? Like, it seems now that every...
Storm tracker.
Not storm tracker, that every... Let's throw the car out in the middle of the expressway just to see how long drive times are.
It's a cool live shot. That's all it is.
Yeah, that one
you're
I don't
in the car,
mind, really.
You know, you got the wipers going. And
we've got technology now. We can broadcast from anywhere.
Sometimes, as long as it's not the guy driving who's operating the camera...
Wait,
you know, that
on.
Would worry
no, no,
me.
No.
But if you have the reporter in the front seat turned around, the camera's in the back.
I disagree.
Or you
I
got
disagree.
Your phone going.
Disagree.
What?
You
what?
Guys have helicopters. Yeah. There's nothing cooler than being in a helicopter.
I don't think you can be in that
why
weather
are we
during
like,
a snowstorm.
Oh, why not?
Yeah, you
we have the technology. I got to sit in traffic. I'm already sitting in traffic.
You can't be in a helicopter with a storm like that. It's dangerous. Okay?
No, that's what I want. I want the reporter hanging from the thing, you know, at the bottom of the helicopter, like True Lies or something.
In news.
We
what is
are.
This?
I want like a Bruckheimer film right in the middle of a snowstorm.
If I want to watch sitting in traffic, I'll just sit in traffic.
Okay, here's the story then. I'm working in Louisville, Kentucky. It's way back, late 70s. We're the only station in the market that has a helicopter. So we promote the crap out of it. It's in our open, you know, 32 Alive's only Skycam station, you know, Kentuckiana. And so we have this helicopter. It's sitting in our backyard. So they go up one day, big snowstorm. And in Louisville, of course, everybody's panicking in Kentucky if you got, you know, an inch of snow.
They're probably just surprised to see a thing flying.
Right.
I mean, they probably didn't understand how that worked.
What the hell is that? But anyway, the camera's up and the in the helicopter. And Jake, the pilot, Vietnam vet, toothpick out of his mouth, you know, caterpillar hat.
Hell yeah.
You know, flannel shirt, just a badass.
The guy you'd pick out of the lineup.
Oh, absolutely. It's like, I want that guy.
That guy.
Yeah. So he's flying. And, you know, back then... We got a lot of former cameramen from Vietnam. You know, when we pulled out, the North Vietnamese were coming down. They were going to kill everybody. So we took out a lot of South Vietnamese cameramen who worked for the networks, NBC, CBS, ABC. They came back to the United States. Well, we had a guy, Vietnamese guy named Dinh Phuc Le, and he was in the helicopter shooting these tractor trailers that had jackknifed and overturned on the highway. All of a sudden, the engine freezes up, shuts down. He's rolling. They're going down with no engine, twirling, and he's rolling all the way down. And Jake crash lands the helicopter in the median strip between the two highways. They both walk away from it.
Oh, my God.
They were
so,
okay. That's amazing.
That's the open of our newscast that night. You know, Kentucky at his only Skycam station. Look at this. Boom, 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 boom. It's whirling around. It hits the ground. Everything goes black. So we're standing in the newsroom. Jake walks in, standing ovation. Standing ovation.
You
we go nuts.
You guys were live when this happened?
Yeah. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
He
wow.
walks in. We go nuts. And then we're, wait, where's Mr. Din? Where's Mr. Din? He walks in. We're like, Din, you were unreal. He goes, I'm okay. Helicopter 100% broken.
It's always the clinching line.
Yeah. It was amazing. But it was the Wild West back then. But to answer your question, you don't go up there in a snowstorm like that.
GN would.
I don't know. It's good. Sounds like you guys got good footage.
And then they'd get nothing. You know, they'd get nothing.
So let's go live. It's Ben Bradley inside a car. Hey, we got snow. How long's it taking you to get to O'Hare, Ben?
I mean, right. It's exactly. That's what it is. You either have the reporter in the front seat or you're just shooting it while you're driving. And
All right. All right, well, you're in tomorrow because we're a little short on Wednesday.
You know, so I've always got to fill time for you guys. Don't you have any programming? I
got to
pick up your butt every day.
I appreciate it. I got to meet Mark Giangreco today.
I'm just going to hang with Connor. We don't need Sylvia.
Today's a good day.
Right, I'm gone. Wrap it up.
No, Sylvia can take the rest of the week off.
We've got Bleck and Abdallah coming up in 2 short minutes. Thank you to them, as always. And Marky, the only guest we needed. We had a lot of great phone calls. Connor, let's do it again tomorrow, all right?
Pleasure. Looking forward to it.
For Marky and Connor, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Monday night.